Sup nerds, welcome to episode 19 of Powerful, the Power Metal Podcast. On this occasion, we're having a nice chat with our friends John Yeland and Chad Bill Anderson from Judicator and Helium Prime fame, respectively. And the idea of this episode is to focus a bit on the North American power metal scene and how it's developing right now. And since I don't live in North America at all, I'm just skipping this one. And just a little reminder, we now have a Patreon page, so feel free to find us at patreon.com/powerfulpodcast, and if you can spare a dollar or two, that would be great for us, and it will help us continue to do this show as we've been doing for the past year and some months. If you can't contribute with money, that's perfectly fine, and it's not a problem for us. You'll still get all the content that we've been doing so far. Just share the show, share the episodes, write a review or something. Thanks a lot, and I'll leave you to the episode.
Hello, my name is Chad. Some may know me as Chad Bill Anderson. I play lead guitar in Helium Prime. Also, in the past, I've played in Dysphoria. I've done some guest stuff with Dire Peril in the past. I think that's about it for my power metal endeavors.
Nice.
Nice.
How about the other guy?
The other guy.
Am I the other guy?
You are the other guy.
Are. Yeah. Go.
Mr. Right. Sleazy over here.
Right on. Well, yeah, I'm John Yelland. I'm the vocalist of Judicator and of Dire Peril and of Principium. And I'm not sure if Dysphoria is still a thing, but I'm the vocalist for Dysphoria. And I'm kind of like a guest vocal hoe. You know, I just get around. Anybody who needs guest vocals, I'm your man.
Awesome.
You're the vocalist for North America, basically.
Cool. Yeah, I am the North American.
You're the North American representative. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's quite a title you got there.
Well, welcome back to the show, John.
Yeah,
I'm very happy to be back.
You know, it's almost been exactly a year.
We're like a month off. Yeah.
Wow, this is our John-iversary.
It's real close.
You shouldn't get out of touch. It should be every year.
Okay, this is a yearly ritual then. A North America plus John check-in.
Yeah, just gotta check in on each other, make sure everybody's doing all right.
Yeah.
So. Cool. On that, in about 9-10 months, we're going to have Tony on to shit on Sabaton, if you want to be around for that too.
I most certainly do. I'm sure they're really, really, really great guys. Like, I don't dislike Sabaton.
Yeah. That's exactly what I say. I'm just like, I'm sure they're lovely people.
But, like, when the new album comes out.
That's a made-up date.
Like, we're going to have a Sabaton shit on album.
You're completely guessing.
But I didn't even say the date. I just said when it comes out.
I know when it comes out.
I thought we were having Chris Bowes on to shit talk Illstorm.
We're going to have that too. I got to coordinate that with him when he's not drunk.
All right. This sounds like a hot mess. Did we top four power metal bands, John, before
I went
on that cast? You did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it again. Let's see if it changed.
We didn't top four power metal bands, Chad. Chad, top four power metal bands. Go. Yeah.
Well, putting me on the spot.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's our job.
I would say that my favorites are ever changing, and it really just depends on the week or the day.
Yeah, right now.
Today.
Lately, the last week or so, I've been jamming a lot of Camelot. If nice. People consider them power metal still, I don't know.
Close enough.
We just talked about that.
So, yeah, lots of Camelot, lots of Persuader. Savage Circus and Blind Guardian.
Oh,
yeah, I was gonna
say
that last two was like, oh, that sounds so, like
the last
pseudo Blind Guardian.
Like,
yeah, Blind Guardian,
Blind Guardian accessories. Okay,
yes,
cool.
I can agree with that.
John, has yours changed? Top four. Let's do your top four. Hot take.
They're probably changed since last time. I mean, so I'd say Blind Guardian, Angra, Dio, and yes, I count Dio as power metal, hands down.
Yes.
And let's see. I've been listening to a lot of Crystal Eyes recently, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Is that because of the drama?
Because of the what?
There's
crystal
drama.
Eyes, not crystal. Oh,
no,
oh my bad.
No, that's my bad.
That's
my bad.
Even, crystal that's eyes. Not even the same word. Jesus.
That yeah, you're right.
Oh, my God.
You're right.
You're
never
fired.
Mind.
Go watch
never
anime.
Mind. I've got drama on the mind. I've got drama on the mind.
You are so fired. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we're on friendly terms here. We're not all about the drama. So we want to know, so we usually, when we had all our other, like, North American friends on here, we just asked how they met. How did you guys meet John and Chad?
Ooh. That's a fun story. Do you want to tell it, or should I tell it?
Yeah, I'll give my version at least.
Okay.
Well, there's two sides.
I mean, both sides of the story.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, John and I have known each other now for over 10 years. Wow, that's a long ways back. Now I feel really old.
I love it. I love it, sweetie.
But yeah, I started a band when I was 17 or so, when I was in high school. We weren't very good. The band ended up becoming Dysphoria.
is that the demo?
Singer was
Wait, is that the demo
shit,
that
dude.
You gave me?
I'm really proud of my band.
Yeah, but no, I, we when we started out, we were really, really bad. Like, I sent Larry our
Dysphoria EP. Oh,
the EP that had John singing. There was another demo before with our old singer. And
yeah, if you think that's
way
rough.
Bad. So
John, is that the first time you were like singing in a band?
That is the first time I had ever sung in a band. No joke.
Oof.
And in fact, an interesting tidbit. When we were recording that, like the EP that has what, like Modified God and
yeah,
Dysphoria. When we were tracking the vocals for that, I, you know, it's the first time I was actually recording. And so I was self-conscious and I was so distraught over what I perceived to be my like bad performance that I was like, Casey, the drummer at the time, I was like, Casey, like if you don't like this, I can stay the vocalist until you guys find a replacement. I can do keyboards, whatever you want, but I totally understand if you don't want to do this, like, because I'm so sorry. And Casey, like, he was...
I apologize for my existence. Holy shit.
Yeah, basically. But the thing is, Casey, up until that point, had been so hard on me. And he had, like, basically been like, you know nothing, I know everything, and you're lucky to be here. But in that moment, he really turned on the chocolate sauce, and he just really was supportive and kind, and he was like, no man, I believe in you and I want you to do this. And honestly, like, I'm not even joking, Casey Frederick is the person who is responsible for me continuing as a vocalist. If I had bowed out at that point, I never would have sung again, or
oh my God,
you know, sung in that
so
kind
awesome.
Of capacity.
Well, thank you, Casey.
Shout out to Casey Frederick.
Yeah, shout out to that guy for being tough when you needed him to be tough, and for being kind and supportive when you needed him.
That means not only your success goes back to Casey Frederick, but our success as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because
sure.
Without you,
yeah.
We never would have had Hansi on. So.
The butterfly effect,
hey,
dude.
Yeah, that's true.
And not that our success is entirely dependent on Hansi being on the podcast or
anything. It's a large
no, it's dependent
but,
on
you know,
just like doubled our numbers. It's fine.
Yeah, that's
no big deal.
We just proved ourselves as a legitimate podcast source. Okay.
Legitimate journalists.
So we got derailed with the touching story of the this.
Oh, sorry about
EP.
That.
Oh yeah. But
did John and Chad meet at that point yet, or did we just get completely derailed?
Well, no, yeah, it was completely a little bit off the rail a little bit there, but I'll
but
go back just
really...
to.
That was a wholesome story. It's worth it.
It was.
It's worth the detour.
But yeah, no, going back a little bit, me and a couple other friends had started Dysphoria. This would have been in 2007-ish. Like I said, I was like back in high school and I was just starting out as a guitar player. So yeah, we were really, really bad. Casey, actually, our drummer that John was mentioning, he was an original member of that band. Now he plays drums for Principium. So if people don't know Principium, definitely check them out. That's John's other band there. But yeah, we needed a new singer because our old singer was really bad. and so I went, you know, back then you met people on MySpace.
Oh, throwback.
I remember that.
So I believe I was just trolling around on the horrible, horrible classifieds interface that MySpace had at the time. And I found an ad that someone had put up looking for a band, and it turned out to be John. So I messaged him and we started talking. He came over and we went from there. And then we wrote all the songs that ended up on that EP. And it was okay. We obviously got way better. For anybody who knows any of our stuff that we still have out, like on Spotify, that's the stuff we're proud enough to keep out and not hide from the world.
Are you planning on releasing the Dysphoria EP to the world?
Probably not. I'm okay with showing it to people who I trust, but in general, I wouldn't show it to the general public.
That's fair.
You gotta start
somewhere.
That's
completely fair. Right? It's really bad. It's not really, really bad, but like, it's got its moments, but yeah.
Hey, you gotta be really bad at something before you get good at it.
Exactly.
That's entirely true, yes. Yeah.
You gotta keep in mind, we were like 17, 18, and 19 years old at that point, and we were just starting out, so.
Yeah, right?
It's kind of interesting. I mean, if somebody showed you Blind Guardian's very first recorded material, you'd probably be like, you know, it's okay.
But they
it's
were
okay.
like, yeah, they were like that age too. They were like little teens. Mm-hmm.
But you know, now you guys are two individually successful guys with multiple projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and Dysphoria is dead, however you measure it. But and Dysphoria is not completely dead. It's on life support.
It isn't? Okay.
What I want to do with Dysphoria is I want to record one or two final goodbye songs and then do a final goodbye show. And that could be a fun and interesting opportunity to release all of our back catalog, all the embarrassing, juicy stuff like the EP. And we could even release the Josh Swenson stuff, like the very first vocalist who was before me. Because, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know who would even care. But for people who would care, it's like, that would be a neat little treat, you know?
That would be fun. Cool tidbit of North American power metal history.
Yeah, exactly. This sounds like you guys are like ready to close this chapter on Dysphoria, because this is one of the things that we wanted to ask you. Does Dysphoria have a chance of getting back together? And what would you do differently? But it sounds like you guys are about to close shop.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that everybody that was a part of that band has kind of moved on to bigger and better things. Like John's got Judicator and Dire Peril. Mm-hmm. I've got Helium Prime. Casey, you know, he's in Principium with John. And he does his own kind of like video production stuff these days. I mean, Austin, you know, he's a very good singer, and he sings in a like kind of genty proggy band called Machines of Man. So yeah, everybody just has all their other projects that are really do really well on their own. And Dysphoria was such a collaborative thing that it kind of takes everybody or nobody for it to work.
That's why I'm really trying to be realistic, because like, if I could wave a magic wand, I would love to get Dysphoria back together. But being realistic, I think it would be better for everybody and actually make sense to do. I think it's plausible to do a goodbye song, maybe two, but not an EP, not a tour, not multiple shows. I think we could do a goodbye show.
You guys all are going to have 8 projects, and like, come on, we're all like human. You only have a certain number of hours in a day.
You can just do cameos on the other bands that everyone has.
Yeah.
Can I make one request of Dysphoria before you die for reals?
Before you planned your death.
You need to re-record the Dysphoria song.
That would be interesting.
That's the Dysphoria song.
I would be comfortable re-recording that one on like our own means, but I've like to do 3 songs professionally mixed and engineered. I would do 2 songs or 1 really well done, and then we could do like do one on our own, like for Dysphoria.
That's probably doable.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a great tribute to Dysphoria, which sounds like where a lot of you guys got your first start into the music business.
Yeah,
I guess.
And both of your like more recent projects, Helium Prime and Dire Peril, involve our friend Jason Ashcraft. And now that he's not here to defend himself, how did he get roped into the mix here?
Well, I met Jason through Facebook. So another another social media mishap. No.
Wow.
I think I first encountered Jason in the US Power Metal Connection Facebook group, which was started by a buddy, Josh Mortensen. Yes, Josh Mortensen started this Facebook group. He lives in Denver. He used to play guitar in a band called Vacant Throne. I don't think that band's around anymore. But yeah, Facebook group.
Now he's in Crafteon.
Now he plays black metal in Crafteon.
It's a big jump.
Yeah. But anyway, US Power Metal Connection. I always saw Jason commenting on stuff in there. He had a really awesome looking white Les Paul in all of his profile pictures, and I thought it was, I don't know, I thought he was cool. So I think I added him or he added me, one of the two, I can't remember.
This shows the importance of a cool profile picture.
Yeah.
I was just thinking. He had a cool guitar, so I thought he was cool.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have me added on Facebook, but I'm like a pink seal. That's me. Feel free to add me. Anyway,
Chad's,
go on.
Chad's new profile picture is really cool.
Oh, really?
Just so everyone's aware.
Okay, he's like, I'm going to go shredding it up right on stage as you tell your story.
But yeah, anyway, I met him, and then I don't remember if it was him or someone else posted a link to a Dire Peril video on YouTube. It was an older Dire Peril song with their old singer Norman, and it was a cover of Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult, and I thought it was the coolest cover of that song I've ever heard. So I don't remember if I added Jason first or after I heard that song, but in any case, fast forward a couple years, Dysphoria was doing our first tour to the West Coast. And Jason helped us set up a couple of dates in Sacramento and the Bay Area. We played Bay Area with Dire Peril, actually. And the funny thing is Sacramento, we played the first ever show that Helium Prime would play. And this was the first time I met Heather and Jason in person, actually.
Wait, Sacramento. Was this in... What year was this?
This was 2014.
Oh, okay, never mind. Okay.
If memory serves me right, they weren't even called Helion Prime. I think they were called Furia or Furion.
Yes, Furion was the original name of the
Furion.
Band.
Like, of the heart of the variety?
Right.
Exactly!
It all ties together, man. It all ties together.
Yeah, and Jason actually invited John and I both to play some cover songs with them at that show. So John played sang an Iced Earth song with them. Phantom of the Opera. Or is that what it's called?
Yeah. Phantom of the Opera song. And I did it with Heather.
And I got up there and played Book of Heavy Metal by Dreamweaver with them at that show.
Ooh, nice. That's cool.
And that was kind of cool. That was my first time sharing the stage with Helium Prime. And I had no idea what was to come a couple years later. But so that's how I met Jason. And I've been stuck with him ever since.
Stuck with him. I like it.
Stuck with him.
I like it.
Nice. All right. So you guys have obviously played in many North American, I guess, metal acts. Over the past few years, what have you noticed about the North American metal scene in terms of musical style? Like, are people trending towards traditional heavy metal, or is like something completely new and crazy evolving out of North American metal people?
And then off of that, as people playing in the scene, do you think it heavily differs from stuff that comes out of Europe? Or do you think you guys are like doing Europe with a twist, something like that?
I don't really have my finger on the pulse of European metal so much, but with like the underground and the, you know, sort of medium tier bands, I guess. But with America, it definitely seems like there's more of a traditional heavy metal emphasis coming out these days. I know that there was sludge metal for a while. It was kind of big, but yeah, I mean,
yeah, I guess I never really realized how like big sludge and doom are in North America. Like, I don't know, like power metal in North America, I think what I've perceived is that it's not as popular as like Yob is super popular here. Everybody mm-hmm. knows Chemist. Yeah, I feel like the sludge doom style is more well known than power metal. It's weird.
Yeah, that's my perception as well, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know, there's just way more of a audience for the traditional metal stuff around, and it's kind of crazy. I feel like it's growing a lot recently, with especially with stuff like Frost and Fire coming up the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the festival, right?
Like,
where is that?
California.
That's in Ventura. Ventura, California.
Okay.
Is where that one's at. Yeah. Helium Prime actually played the very first one. We opened that, the first Frost and Fire Fest, which is funny because we're not traditional metal at all.
No.
But but yeah, no, like with bands like Visigoth and Night Demon and all these bands
like,
coming out.
Was it called Eternal Champion?
Eternal Champion, Ice Sword. Mm-hmm. Ice Sword's really good.
Yeah, actually, I met Ice Sword in Chicago last year. They were cool.
You know, I used to live in Flagstaff, and they didn't put out anything until like the year after I had left Flagstaff, so I didn't know they existed until it was inconvenient for me to go to their shows.
Oh, let's just wait till Biscuit moves, then we're gonna play. Screw that guy.
Yeah, they set their merch up right next to us when we played Legions of Metal in Chicago. So that was cool. See, that's another one, is Legions of Metal, another festival that mm-hmm. seems to cater a lot to the traditional metal. So, and traditional metal has a lot of overlap, I think, with the power metal crowd. But it only goes one way, kind of. Like, the traditional metal people don't really care for the power metal so much.
There's a lot of overlap with like the U.S. style.
Yeah,
we've
yeah, for sure. And so like there's the U.S. power metal bands like you know, like Jagdpanzer and like
Manila Road and Crimson Glory.
Yeah. So and obviously way different than the Euro style stuff, which is kind of the more, that's kind of, I guess my bands have always leaned more towards Euro style. So it's hard to literally say much about that side of it because I'm not super involved, but just from my own observations, it's the traditional metal crowd seems to not care too much for the pure power metal.
Yeah. Do you find that challenging to, like, I guess, become an established Euro power style band in North America where bands inspired by like US power metal is so prominent?
I would say it's definitely a challenge. This last tour we just did with Unleash the Archers was different, to say the least, because when they have power metal stuff, and when their songs go in the power metal direction, it's very Euro style, but they also have way more to their music than just power metal. Like, they've got a lot of death metal
references
or influences and stuff like that. So I don't think the people going out to the Unleash the Archers shows,
I think,
count.
They're like non-overlapping with the guys who would go to like the Broke as Helm show that was like not too far away from that show.
Right.
And like Hellstar also toured.
That's part of what makes Unleash the Archers something a little more palatable, I think, to an American audience, is that they kind of spoon feed you power metal in a way that you're not totally aware, because they have so many other elements working in tandem.
Right. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. Like, people come for the other element, the more death metal or metalcore type.
Like more aggressive, whatever style.
Right.
I don't know.
And then all of a sudden, now these people are realizing.
And they're like, surprise, power metal.
Yeah. So now these fans of them are kind of realizing, or starting to realize, that they like the melodic power metal aspects.
Yeah.
So what you could say is that Unleash the Archers is a gateway drug to power metal.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you saying we have to like trick American audiences?
That is totally true. Okay. So, okay, we discuss American power metal. So I want to know how you guys feel about some of the more recent happenings in the European power metal world, like, for example, Beast in Black. Do you guys know Beast in Black and Battle
I've
Beast?
I've seen a few of their YouTube videos.
With the name Beast in it. Yeah, and... yeah,
I can never remember which one is which.
Beast in Black has Yannis.
Kind of similar style, but you know, you guys know what I'm talking about in general, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Heavy so Sands.
Play, yeah, they play a lot of like mid-tempo stuff that you can kind of like fist pump to the chorus, like yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of like synths, and I don't know, it doesn't go above 90 BPM. and it works really well like for sing-along crowd stuff. But yeah, how do you guys feel about that style? And do you think that's like power metal?
I guess you could call it power metal. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sure it's considered power metal. Very anthemic, sing-along, melodic. To me, it strikes me sort of more like stadium rock crowd.
Yes, there we go. It's arena metal, John. It's arena
I love
metal.
That you guys are validating our thoughts.
Like, we've been so validated like, in the last year. I don't want to be a douchebag. I don't want to come on here and like hate on people and bands and stuff. But
no, not just at all.
That kind of music just doesn't excite me at all. It just seems like if you've heard two of their songs, you've heard just about all of them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're talking about musical distinctions. This is important stuff for the genre warriors among us.
Well, I feel bad because, like I mentioned with Sabaton, it's like I'm sure they're awesome people. I'm sure they're so cool, and I'd love to hang out with them. But just like if I have to choose between that and listening to Yes or like Boston or something, I'm gonna choose that. Yeah, an aria.
Yeah.
John Bovey.
Yeah, we've been saying Beast and Bon Jovi. To refer to those bands.
Yeah, they're
Beast and Battle,
the first
Beast
single
and
they put out. Beast in Black's first single they put out was like legit a Bon Jovi song. It was amazing.
Oh my god. Yeah, it was amazing. We enjoyed it a lot. But it's just really difficult for us to like put that in the same category as like, I don't know,
Judicator or Helion Prime.
Judicator and like Jagdpanzer and I don't know. Manila Road. Yeah, no, that's weird.
I will say this. I've had like one of those daily mix things on Spotify recently that's like all power metal bands. And every time King for a Day by Battle Beast comes on, I always skip it because that song pisses me. Like, I don't, I do not like that song.
That song is amazing. It's like my
I don't like half
Friday
of their
night
fucking set
anthem.
Yeah, well, and it's not that I don't like Battle Beast because I actually kind of like them depending on the day, but
that
song gets skipped every time.
That's how I feel about Black Ninja.
How about Bastard Son of Odin? Oof. I love that song.
Honestly, the rest of their songs like all sound the same to me, so
okay. Good. At least I'm not the only one being harsh here.
No, you've heard one. I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Did you guys check out Brothers in Metal? Like last year or the year before?
Oh my god. I don't understand the love for that.
I like Brothers
band.
Of Metal.
Okay, I'll stop talking.
I love Brothers of Metal as like my basic bitch power metal that I put on.
My basic bitch power metal.
That's what I call it.
Oh, wow.
Can we call them Bros of Metal?
They have like harsher vocals in there. They're not that basic. Harsher.
But I don't know. I don't think harsh vocals means not basic.
It's less. Are they turning into like the new modern Manowar?
It I hope so.
Seems like that.
Possibly.
That's what we need.
Brothers in Metal.
Well, to be honest, I only heard about Brothers of Metal because they signed to AFM, which is the label that I'm on.
Which is your record.
Label mates.
Yeah.
So
they had to get new art because of
label
it too.
Mates.
Yeah, I haven't really listened to them at all. I thought they looked ridiculous, but I haven't looked at them since that.
You know, I think people really like Ridiculous.
Yeah, they definitely.
Do. They really
and
do.
I'm all for that.
They kind of remind me of Frozen Crown a little bit, but Frozen Crown's better. But they're also different.
Have you guys considered becoming Ridiculous to sell out?
Oh my god, that's a good question.
I have a huge penchant for Ridiculousness, and if it were not for Tony, Judicator would on occasion dabble in the ridiculousness.
Well,
yeah, because like for the shows that we're doing this year, I wanted the whole band to get up in like Crusader
outfits. Oh my god, that
was that not
so
happening
cool.
anymore?
Wouldn't
amazing.
That be awesome?
Is that not happening anymore?
We're not
so
doing
happy.
It. The band doesn't like feel comfortable doing it anymore.
I was talking to Tony about that, and he said it was totally a thing.
I know,
can
it's
you,
not a thing
you
anymore.
Can you just do it?
Ugh.
Like, you're just
thinking.
I
would love it.
So
I would shit
everyone
bricks.
Everyone else can, yeah. If they let you do it, that'd be pretty cool.
I was really excited for that.
At least lead the crowd in a Deus Vult chant.
Oh,
like,
dude.
That's what you gotta
that,
do. I think
that
that's
would
a given.
Be so cool. Okay. And like with Dysphoria, for example, like we used to have much more of a stage show. Like I rigged up this like homemade squib. So we would play the song Creator's Creator and it would come to this really creepy part. And then this big dissonant chord would hit and I would hit the trigger and my chest would explode. My chest would explode in blood and stuff. And oh man, you go back and look at like the crowd during like videos of that moment and people are like, what the heck? Oh, I love it. I love
dude,
it. I love
I
crazy
power
stuff.
Power metal bands could use more theatrics. I mean, black metal folks do it. Like the extreme subgenres use fake blood and whatever. Power metal folks can do it too.
My perfect band would be like a mix between Blind Guardian and Alice Cooper. Like if I could make Ooh. My band, it would be like that.
Like the aesthetics of Alice Cooper. With like yeah. the musical tendencies of Blind Guardian.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
big,
pretty dope.
Epic and just always something going on.
You come on stage and you like kill a goat straight off the bat.
Yeah. Anything's on the table.
Wow. R.I.P. the goats.
That's a hell of a show.
Yeah. Well, this seemed I guess to sum this section up of our little conversation. Yeah, North American power metal, completely distinct from European style. But you know, we've got overlapping fans that like these.
I feel like it's like the more recent American stuff is kind of like a mix between older USPM and traditional metal and then also like dabbling in the European stuff.
Yeah, it's like a little definitely. Bit of both. It's like melodic like Euro power, but like unlike Euro power, you guys still have guitar riffs, which is pretty sweet. You can still hear the bass.
And then
nice.
It'll pull in some more of that like death metal-y type stuff and even maybe even like thrash metal. Like Seven Kingdoms, didn't they start more in like a thrash style?
They were yeah. kinda they had a lot more they were kinda like metalcore in a way. Like if you listen to their album that had Brian Edwards singing, Brothers of the Night, that was like straight up melodic death metal. In a lot of spots, which it's actually very good if you don't mind the kind of home recording production, but the songs on it are amazing for the record.
Chad, I like King of Rome, so I don't think I mind that aesthetic.
Well, King of Rome,
yeah, that's a terrific.
King of Rome was a very well written album too, if you don't mind me saying, John.
Yeah, it's well written, but if I could wave a magic wand, the production would be a lot better.
Oh, sure.
I still would love to re-record like Elan and Into the Sea of Bayonets, and I don't know, someday
one day.
Perhaps.
Someday. So you just one day. You just gotta trick Americans into listening to power metal. Is the
you listen
moral
here, Americans? Listen to more power metal.
It's Do happening it. Slowly. I think it's slowly Do happening. It. I think power metal is slowly starting
yeah,
to get bigger.
Yeah, I think so. I was really impressed at the turnout in the Unleash the Archers tour. Because usually in that venue, there's like 30 people. But there's definitely more than 30 people there.
Yeah, like
they just need some of those gateway bands.
Yeah, I think really it's just a matter of a lot of people don't know that it exists. Because mm-hmm. like I've shown Helion Prime to people that I've met in passing at friends' houses or whatever, and like I'll turn on a music video and they'll be like, wow, I didn't know that music like this could have clean singing. Like they just
yeah,
think
right?
they think
no,
metal is death
is
metal
so
and that's
true.
It
so when you guys played in Phoenix, you were like hanging out at my house or whatever, and then I guess my roommate had like a party that night.
Oh yeah,
like right after you guys left, a party happened and he was playing your guys' debut for everyone there, and they all liked it apparently, and they're all like 20 something, you know, basic people. listen to like hip hop and whatever.
Normies, totes.
People
storms.
Just don't know power metal exists. But in my opinion, I don't think anyone would dislike power metal.
Well, plenty of people.
Yeah, like it hits all the buttons.
I want to hang out at your house.
It hits all the buttons that people like.
Let's hang out. That was so fun.
Feel left it's out okay. now.
Let's all hang out and sing I Want Out together. It'll be a great time.
No, but John, don't feel left out. I had to work while he was hanging out at my house.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
So he was just there and I was like working.
Yeah, Biscuit just let them into their house and he's like, I got to go back to work. I don't have the day off. And he just left them. Like, oh, here's the Wi-Fi password. Don't break anything.
And then we watched Armageddon.
Ew, gross. Why would you do that? I always think uncated. Ben Affleck playing with the animal crackers on that lady's belly button. And I'm like, gross. Oh, that's kind of gross.
Yeah.
You gonna eat that? Yucky.
Yeah, that movie's not that good.
I don't remember that part.
That's an understatement. That movie's terrible. Sorry for all the fans of Armageddon out there.
No, this is a candid podcast.
But it is a terrible movie.
Yeah, well,
we stay real on this podcast.
I used to watch Armageddon and Deep Impact on Christmas with my family. It was like our Christmas thing. Yeah, I don't know. Instead of talking about weird movie tendencies, let's talk about
let's talk about metal.
Let's talk about metal. Yeah, so
powerful metal,
because there's so much overlap in the North American metal community. Like, how do you guys decide who plays in what band? You know how, like, John's the vocalist of literally every band? We were wondering if there's a shadow government, or do you operate like the idol industry, where you just, like...
Do you draw straws?
Names?
Yeah.
Are there, like, death pit fights out in Salt Lake?
Yeah, do you just have, like... Yeah, do you have a fight to the death in the midst of Salt Lake City, and the winner is the vocalist?
Is it gonna be Dysphoria of Fire?
Yeah.
All these decisions are generally made by competitive monkey fighting, monkey knife fighting bets.
Oh, so it's like Pokemon. Yeah. In
what's the
life?
Best kind of monkey in your experience?
Oh, it's perfect. Oh, okay.
Only incredibly violent, and there's no Poke Center. You know, what's dead stays dead.
What's your preferred monkey, John?
Boy, howdy. I could go with Rusty or Blackie or Scarface, but so many vicious monkeys to choose from.
There's like a whole metagame to the monkey fight. Okay.
All right. So now that we learned that people play IRL Pokemon to decide who plays in what band,
monkey knife fighting
/ IRL Pokemon. how is it different playing with different people? Like, I don't know.
Well, so
does it depend on like their musical style, or I don't know, like who takes the lead?
In my experience, like, so with Dysphoria, it was an incredibly like very collaborative band. Like we would write like pretty much all the songs were written together, with a few exceptions. Or like, you know, everybody would be in the room while it was being written and we'd all be putting ideas into the hat. Whereas like with playing with Helion Prime, that band is like, that's Jason's band. So, you know, he writes like 99% of the stuff. I throw some crappy guitar solos on it at the end and then call it good. It's very much less involved for me as far as the songwriting goes for Helion Prime versus what I was doing in Dysphoria, where I would actually contribute ideas that could be fleshed out to be full songs in the end. And yeah, it's definitely very, very different. And every other band that I've been in has been kind of the same as what Dysphoria was. So yeah, these days I don't get to do a lot of writing, which I would like to do some more of in the future with a different project maybe, but...
Are you teasing a new project right now?
No, definitely Uh-oh. Not. I wish I was.
any sketchy sweet leaks to give us?
I really, really wish I had something on the horizon, but I've been so busy, unfortunately.
Chad, I do have a question for you about the Helion Prime songwriting. I know you're not involved, as you just said. But this is something we forgot to ask Sozos and Jason back in August.
Sure.
How much of the album was written before you guys knew that Sozos was your new singer?
I think there was like maybe 3 or 4 songs, that were the music for them where it was already pretty much good to go. And everything else was like all the rest of the songs were partially written. So it was a pretty good chunk of the music was ready to go before Sozos. But Sozos wrote all the lyrics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Sozos wrote all the lyrics aside from Spectrum, which was co-written between Jason and Sozos.
Yeah, it's Jason's thing.
But yeah, Sozos wrote all that stuff very quickly, and I was very impressed.
Oh, yeah. I guess, like, Jason wanted to not say, hey, can you write all this? Thanks, bye. But Sozos did it anyway.
Yeah, he just started doing it, and Jason was like, okay, go nuts, and he did.
we recorded another episode yesterday, and I was, like, kicking myself because I just thought of that question, and we should have asked it, like, 6 months ago.
Yeah,
it's okay. Questions are hard. Let's talk about touring. Do we want to talk about touring?
Let's talk about touring.
Touring is
good. You guys were both recently touring with Helium Prime doing the thing with Unleash the Archers, and then Dire Peril was doing a little bit of a tour.
Dire Peril was touring
with Seven Kingdoms
on the other side of the country that we didn't get to see.
And Cyrenia.
Yeah, I didn't get to catch the Seven Kingdoms, Dire Peril, Cyrenia stuff because you guys didn't come out far enough west.
I know.
John felt really bad about it.
I know. I want to hang out with you guys.
I want a personal apology.
Yeah. It's okay. We'll hang out next time. It's going to be fun.
2020 tire peril is going
tire to be. Tire peril.
Are we going to get that Dire Peril Judicator dual headline tour?
Tire Daryl.
That would be impossible. I would die. 2020 Dire Peril is going to be hoping to turn our sights more west. We may do some touring. Some light touring this year in the West, so we'll see.
So is there a reason you guys went to the Eastern U.S.? Is it because you were just following Seven Kingdoms?
Yeah, it was just because Cyrenia had an opening for the Northern and Eastern U.S. and Canada, and so we just took that opportunity, and then same thing with Seven Kingdoms. They had an opening for Eastern U.S., so we just took what was open.
Okay, so is that generally how you decide on when and where to tour nowadays? You're just like, hey, looking for open slot wherever in this large continent.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes when you're in a band that's at the level where our bands are at. Like, we're not necessarily a household name to the point where
are this household.
Oh, my heart.
My entire household knows.
But it's kind of like with Helium Prime, you know, we are lucky enough to, you know, Jason's lucky enough to be good enough friends with Brittany Slays from Archers that she just like hit him up one day and was like, hey, so you're coming on tour with us, right? And Jason's like, yes. So
yes, of we course. Just when, where?
Yeah, we got lucky. We got incredibly lucky with that one. And then obviously Stryker was with us as well, and they're awesome. Another awesome bunch of Canadians.
And
honestly, that tour though was it's hands down the best touring experience of my life.
Dude, that was awesome. Stryker was so good. I love that tour.
I think Stryker surprised a lot of people because not many people expected to like them as much as they ended up liking them.
Like, I didn't know anything about Stryker and then was blown away.
I didn't know anything about Stryker. And then they did all that like glam metal shit. And I was like, oh my God.
That was glorious.
Yeah. So I was a big fan of Stryker. I was actually probably more stoked about touring with Stryker than I was about Archers. I'm not going to lie, but both amazing bands to tour with. And yeah, it was just lucky. They needed an opening band and we happened to make ourselves available for it. So when we're at this level, it's just kind of like take what we can get. And eventually the goal is to actually book our own and have an agent that books it for us. But that'll come with time, I'm sure.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
You guys are all gonna play Powerful Fest.
Powerful Fest 2030. That's like 5 years. That's happening.
Yeah.
2030. Oh,
if we keep pushing it back, it's gonna be a thing one of these days.
We're being realistic. Now our main goal is to keep producing episodes on schedule and to break even on our We're taking it one step at a time. Yeah.
I feel like on the subject of festivals, I think that's it's awesome to see more stuff in North America that's power metal based. Like you have Hyperspace, which is over in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why don't you guys tell us about like any upcoming tours that your bands are playing? Just briefly sum it up for the podcast.
As of right now, Helium Prime only has one thing on the horizon, and that is Mad With Power, which is in Madison, Wisconsin in August. Yeah. I forget the exact date, but we're actually playing that with Judicator.
I think it's so early August because Ty pushed it back.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's way too close to Prague Power to...
I know, we were
he needs
like,
to push that back a couple months.
We wanted to go to that, but we already bought stuff for Prague Power.
I'm going to try to find a way to go to that or Hyperspace. I got to see Judicator. I got to see Helium Prime with an actual singer that's on an album.
Next year, I'm going to try two festivals, but I can't do that this year.
Yeah, Judicator's got Hyperspace coming up in April and then Mad With Power. And we're going to be doing one or two Arizona shows as well before the Hyperspace.
What?
We're going to be doing at least one show before Hyperspace.
In Phoenix or in Tucson?
Probably Tucson, but it could be Phoenix. So come on down. Come on down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only a 6-hour drive for me. I'll be there.
4-wheel drive.
Where do you live?
I'm in San Diego, California.
Okay.
And, I know.
And then Dire Peril, we're planning on doing definitely maybe like a weekend warrior tour or something this year, but we're going to kind of keep our heads down while Helion Prime works on their new album. And, we'll be doing a tour April 2020.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Something to look forward to next year.
Yeah. Mark your schedule.
Mark my schedule.
Yeah, I feel like the American bands are in kind of a unique spot when it comes to touring because America is so goddamn big and not very dense when it comes to like metal bands and metal fans as opposed to Europeans.
Yeah, it's like I got to drive 6 hours.
And shows are so important for like bands to get that grassroots support. So it's just that extra bit of challenge that you guys have to overcome that hurdle.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate side of it. And especially because all of the fans are kind of spread out on the coasts. So that's why you see so many West Coast tours and then so many East Coast tours that don't end up meeting up in the middle. It's just because it's so hard to cover that extra distance. Unless you're like a bigger band that has, you know, the ability or the funds or whatever to get you over there. So yeah, it's unfortunate, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's how it is.
Like I feel very fortunate to be in Arizona because usually bands will just be like, Arizona's close enough to California that they tack a date on.
I feel like you've gotten a lot of shows last year. I think Arizona is a real place with humans.
People just tack us on with California because it's so close relatively.
Yeah.
But if there's something really big that I want to go to and they're not coming here, you know, Anaheim or LA is only 6 or 7 hours away.
Ugh, that's like
only
a commitment though,
quote unquote.
Yeah,
only.
Yeah.
As that's opposed to if you live in the Midwest and you're like, shit, I gotta drive like 2 days to go to New York or something.
2 days.
That's one thing I love hearing bands on the East Coast complain about, the drive times for touring.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, oh, poor you have a 3-4-5 hour drive, come back out to the West where it's like 8-9-13 hour drives. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, when we were, I think, planning this episode, we looked at the distance between Salt Lake and Sacramento, and it is a good stretch of nothing.
And we're like, this looks like such a boring drive.
Yeah, you know how many times I made that drive?
Too many.
We're like, yeah.
One of these days, you'll get paid to fly.
That's prime. That's prime, like, podcast and music listening time right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually listened to like 3 episodes of Powerful on my way.
Oh my god! Well, we're glad to have accompanied you in your drive then.
Good thing we have really long episodes.
I think that's actually shortly after the Hanzi episode dropped, so that was the first one I listened to on my way out, right before tour.
And it was all downhill from there.
I was like, we probably peaked there.
Yeah, I think that was our best episode last year. It was really good. No offense to any of us.
No offense to ourselves and our other guests.
Well, that episode was like
sitting
really
here
good.
Shedding a silent tear.
Judicator one like, was right a close there. Second, I'm sure.
John was like, but me.
And this is the best episode of 2019.
Yeah, this is we've peaked right here. It's all downhill from here.
Yep.
We haven't even released any episodes this year, although I think Album of the Year comes out first.
Album of the Year comes out before us.
So yeah, North America's really big and it's hard to tour. Do you have any pro tips for touring efficiently and peacefully and financially
and hygienically,
I guess, smart?
A really good thing that I'm pretty sure Helium Prime does too is most bands, well, I'm not sure how most bands do it. I'm a dummy, but we load in and we play our set and then we drive through the night that night after we've played, and so that we arrive at the next destination early in the morning, which makes
for... But what about sleeping?
It makes for some hellish drives and we have to take shifts, but it feels nice to get to the venue at like 10 in the morning.
And no stress of, oh my God, are we going to make it kind of thing?
Oh my goodness. The Dire Peril tour that we just took, it's like one night we hit a blizzard and we had to pull off to the side of the road and wait for that to die down. I hit some kind of an animal driving, the first time I've ever hit an animal while driving. Man, and deer, like driving through Texas, like there were a couple times deer ran out in the road and it's like, okay, we might die here. So it's like, man.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Driving late at night.
Would you say there was? Would you say there was blood on the ice, John?
I think my my biggest thing is that drinking is not a viable thing for most people. Like, I should
I totally binge understand drinking. That. Yeah,
binge drinking is not a good idea when you're on tour.
Yeah,
I don't drink myself, so but I was able to see how haggard it made people on tour. Like, people were, I don't know why they do it to themselves, and I say that from being, I used to be one of those guys, but just stay dry and things, you know, they go a lot smoother.
That's the thing, is like touring really is a physical thing. Like, even if you're just sitting driving for like 8 hours in a stretch, like your body is
driving for 8 hours is rough.
So important to what you're doing. And if you're filling it full of trash, then you're gonna perform like trash, not only on like the non-musical, like not stage stuff, but on stage too. And like Chad said, you know, there are times when you see musicians who treat their bodies like trash and they get up and they perform like trash and it doesn't surprise you and it's sad. So,
oh, that is so true. Yeah, I feel like this is really good advice for anyone who is a human.
Yeah, general life advice.
Please take care of yourselves. If you do decide to drink, be picky and appreciate your drinks.
Be a beer snob.
Douchebag. Be a beer snob like me. I'm extremely picky with beer.
Don't be me and drink like 6 PBRs.
I'll pour it down the drain if I don't like it.
It's hardcore.
I'm that asshole.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, is the main point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be wise with your like drink choices. Don't.
Mm-hmm.
I drink because you like the taste, not.
And you'll cherish it even more too. I mean, if you're drinking every night, for me it was all right. At the end of the tour, like after we've played our set, I'm gonna get a nice tall Guinness and I'm gonna just enjoy Seven Kingdoms
set.
You're
just gonna cherish it. And you're like, this is the best fucking Guinness I've ever had. And then
it was magical.
You're gonna drink some water because it's good to stay hydrated.
And it was funny too because we were on tour with Stryker, who, they're kind of party animals, and a few of the guys in Unleash the Archers, they really like to party. But like me and Jason and Alex, like none of us really, you know, none of us drink. So there was Jeremy and Mary, who we would give them our drink tickets on nights when we had drink tickets, and
they're gonna have like 6 extra drink tickets.
Yeah, and then, you know, if anybody wanted to buy us beers after our set or whatever, then we would just say, oh, buy beers for these guys, but sorry, we don't drink. So usually Jeremy and Mary, I'm sure that they were happy to get all the free booze, but
they
had to suffer the next day.
They gotta perform. Yeah, they gotta
perform. I wouldn't do that if I had anything to do the next day, honestly.
I'll buy you guys snacks.
Snacks are always very much appreciated.
Yeah. pretzels. So those are, I thought those were nice. Self-care and touring tips for touring in large continents. That's what we can call this section. All right, so does anybody else have any more questions for you guys? Biscuit, ZF?
When's the new album coming out?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Another album. Yes.
The open-ended answer to the open-ended question.
No.
Well, let's see. For anybody who follows Principium, which is probably very few people, we're going to have an album out this year. Judicator, I think you could expect us to have an album out early next year.
What? Already?
Yes. Yes, already.
Okay.
You count on that.
This is the proggy album, okay. Right? You said you were going to go proggy again?
Oh, dude, this album is going to be so good. I'm so excited about this album. No, there are so many things I could nerd out about for anybody who likes history. Like, it's just going to be so cool.
Yep. Oh, did you pick a topic already?
Oh, yeah, we've got a topic. I've got connections to the last album. I'm starting on mapping out the album's content. It's going to follow like an 8-act story structure. Like, lyrically, this is going to be my favorite album that Judicator's done, hands down.
Can you tell us the topic? I feel like I've seen it before on your Facebook.
Yeah, it's going to be about the reign of Justinian and Theodora, but focusing on General Belisarius reconquering North Africa and Italy from the Vandals and the
Ostrogoths. That sounds very historical.
It's going to be so good, though. It's going to be so good.
How do you know so much history? I feel like all of these names sound familiar, but I didn't pay attention in school. So
I'll bet you remember the name Justinian and Theodora.
Yeah,
I'll bet you don't know Belisarius.
I don't know what they do, but I guess I'll find out.
So Western Rome fell, and Eastern Rome kept going, and so Justinian was one of the early emperors of Eastern Rome who tried to reconquer Western Rome that was conquered by the Vandals and the Ostrogoths. And so he's actually the last emperor, if I remember right, who tried to reconquer the Western territories.
You guys already had the last emperor, though.
Huh? No, the last, wait, what?
This is the last emperor.
The other last.
I'm fucking with you.
I just got mind fudged.
Sounds fun. Sounds fun, yeah. And deep.
Sorry,
and
just
intense.
Went on a nerd
yeah,
rampage
we'll be on
there.
The lookout for that and Principium, of course.
You betcha.
Dire Peril in like 2020 or whatever.
Dire Peril could be 2020, but I'm putting my money on 2021.
All right.
Helion Prime, I know we've already been kind of slowly demoing new songs. I think the new album is like maybe a quarter written or maybe a third written at this point. The music, anyway. But yeah, Jason and I have been demoing stuff slowly but surely. So I don't know when that one will be out. Time will tell.
Are you going to put sweet leaks on your Patreon?
Ooh.
You should.
Guitar Pro MP3s.
Yeah.
I actually would nerd out like crazy if like Blind Guardian or Gamma Ray did something like that. I would lose my...
Right? Yeah, that would be super cool.
I don't know if we would be able to do anything that juicy. At least not at this stage. But no, we do still have some stuff coming soon. If anyone wants early access to anything, Patreon's the place to get it.
Yes. So I'm already on there.
We do have some things.
Do you guys find Patreon is probably a good route for bands to go? Like, some people will just monetize through Bandcamp, pay what you want. Patreon, I feel like, you know, you see YouTubers and artists and stuff doing stuff on there.
I think for bands, it's a little bit slower on the uptake versus like YouTubers and like visual artists and stuff like that. Only because I think music fans are just more wary of things like that. I don't know why.
I think it might be just because it's different. It's like, I'm not used to, like, people aren't used to paying monthly for a band to just exist, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
Protest the Hero tried that and it didn't really work out.
Yeah, because Bandcamp has, I don't know if they still do, but they had their own sort of version of it, which was the subscription, which you could pay like monthly or yearly for, it was just like one base amount.
To a band, or like to Bandcamp.
Right. And it was the same thing. I actually, when Protest the Hero came out with that, I actually ponied up and bought a year's subscription. And it was pretty much the same thing as what I see Patreon doing. This is actually a pretty cool subject that I'm really interested in.
Yeah,
so I'll talk about it for just a minute here.
Yeah, nerd out about
it. Yeah, go ahead. I want to know what you have to think.
So Jeremy was at my house recording bass for our latest album. And he showed me, it looked like some sort of like TED Talk type thing where it wasn't really a TED Talk, but the singer and violinist
from Nea Obliviscaris. That was the first time I heard about Tim, like payment model for bands. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, he was on a stage and he's talking about it and going on about how like they set it up and they calculated out, okay, how much do we need to make each month to be able to quote unquote pay ourselves minimum wage. And so that's where they generated their money goal from. And I thought that's kind of a cool idea. And so I started looking at it more. And so, and then there's a few other bands that have picked up on it, like Lords of the Trident.
Mm-hmm. I think Lords of the Trident is a fantastic example of a Patreon on Riot.
Yeah. They do really well with theirs. And the trick is you really have to, like, as the band, you have to be on top of things and you have to make sure you're giving people value for their money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ty's got a fucking amazing work ethic.
Yeah.
He's
so
crazy.
Lords of the Trident does it really well. They are on top of their stuff. We're still trying to kind of figure our way out with it. And we're kind of late on some stuff still. And
yeah, like the Nea Obliviscaris feed on Patreon is super active. I'm actually subscribed to them too. They have like live videos, they have like, you know, little chats and interviews with the band all the time, and they have like discount codes for merch. I don't know, that's
right. So like we plan to be implementing a lot more stuff like that on ours as time goes on, but it's been kind of slow because
I mean,
it's just
like writing
any
music.
We have so much we have so much stuff going on, and it's kind of, we just have, whenever we have a little bit of free time, we try and kind of get stuff going. And so, and it's all kind of me and Jason hashing it out.
Yeah, see, this is the thing, this is like social mediaing is hard. It's like, I don't know how these people on Instagram do it. They like post every day.
Yeah, I don't, multiple times. I've been trying to get more into it, but it's very
so hard. Yeah. But
yeah, so I know I think it's a really cool idea. You have to, it's a lot of work, and I think when more music fans start, or like when more fans of bands start understanding how much work goes into it, they'll be more willing to contribute to something like that. Because, and for us especially, it makes a lot of difference. We only make like 120 or 130 bucks a month on there right now.
Oh my gosh, I would love 120 bucks a month.
And you know, that still does not offset all of our costs.
No, absolutely
by
not.
A large
yeah.
amount.
God, no.
But since, like, for us, we're kind of in a weird transitional spot right now where we're signed, so we don't really see any money right now from our albums. Like, album sales pretty much exclusively go to the label because we owe the label money.
Yeah.
So there's all the day to day stuff, like running the website and ordering merch and stuff like that, preparing for tours,
all very expensive, as we've learned recently.
Yes. So it's just a little bit to help offset the expense, and thankfully we have, I think, a lot of the people that are signed up on our Patreon have been signed up since we started it like 6 months ago or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So thank you to anybody listening to this that has been giving us money for 6 months.
Yeah. Shout outs to Patreon people.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Four Gates.
Just kidding.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's cool. Like it's always I always think like I just think about Nea Obliviscaris and how their Patreon has been ongoing for, I don't know, a few years now. And like, if they didn't get that started, would they? Because it's really crazy. They're from Australia and they've toured the U.S. so many times, and that can't be cheap.
Well, they were with Winter Sun. I don't know if that helps.
But they had headlining tours before. I've seen them
four
times.
They headlined like twice last year. or in 2017. Yeah.
And it's so wild.
They're going strong still. They just announced a new European tour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's
so I feel
crazy.
Like it really helps once it takes off. Yeah, yeah.
So where's that Judicator Patreon?
Boy, you'll have to talk to me in like 3 months. Who knows?
Ooh. Will do.
Yep. Well, I think that's all we had in terms of stuff we wanted to talk to you guys about. Yeah.
You know what? You know what? I'm gonna ask one more time. You guys got any like sweet leaks you wanna give us?
You're still
I think
pushing.
We just got them.
John, I've seen some sweet leaks brewing. You wanna
something about a like, phone call that Tony was waiting 15 years for?
Ooh. Yeah.
What?
I don't know, man.
Any sweet leaks on that front?
Nah, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. Who knows? All I can say is you should pay attention to Judicator this year.
Oh, big news from Judicator this year, guys. I'm excited.
Something may be brewing.
Judicator opening for the Blind Guardian Orchestral Store 2021.
Come on, dude. Don't stay tempt tuned. Me. Don't play with my heart like that.
I mean, that's all we do here. We just make stuff up. Right? Not really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
We make stuff up and we go on Facebook. That's
Powerful Podcast is the podcast front for fake
right?
news.
We make stuff up. We make stuff up and then it somehow it ends up true.
Every
time.
No.
I've never been wrong.
That can't be right.
So okay, Blind Guardian touring with an orchestra with opening act of Judicator.
Yeah, and
I mean,
no,
if
they
you
don't
want to put out your speculation,
they pick up the orchestra from the town that they're in.
Nah,
but, you know.
Everybody's wearing like their whole armor, of course, because we need a theme. John's getting too excited about this fictional tour.
It's a collaborative two albums between Judicator and Blind Guardian.
Okay,
I'm fanning myself over here. I'm so
the
hot right now.
Of Justinian the Great.
I think we should prevent John from like getting a heart attack from this fiction.
Well, that's too bad. I just remembered something I wanted to ask John.
Go.
Yeah.
Is Principium's album going to be exclusively about the one true King Stannis Baratheon?
No, that was an EP only thing. And that was a lot of fun. And even that EP only had two songs about Stannis. But no, this album that Principium's working on is going to be really, really cool. It's interesting because like I don't think anybody knows about Principium, which is okay, but I tell you, like the music we've been working on is it's been in the pipeline for a while. We all feel very, very strongly about it. There are two songs on there that I wrote when I was 19 and I tried getting Dysphoria to do it, but you know, stuff kind of petered out by the time I was able to pitch it to them. So this album is going to be really, 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 really special.
For the record, too, those two songs, I know exactly which ones you're talking about, and
yeah.
I'm very happy that those songs are going to see the light of day, because they are very good, in my opinion.
A decade in the making.
The Echoing Green and Songs of Experience. Yes. When I hear the final mix of those two songs, I will probably cry. I'm not even joking. I never thought they would get made. And we already have the drums done for them, and they are sounding so juicy, and I'm so excited.
Sounds beautiful.
And that's it.
All right. Well, we got a lot of good stuff to look forward to this year.
Oh, I think that counts as sweet leaks, because Biscuit keeps asking.
We had a really big list of shit yesterday, right?
Oh, my God.
The
list of 2019
our
shit is so
things
long.
To look forward to in 2019 thing. We had a list of like 40 albums. We can add another one to it right now, Principium.
Yeah, please. Love to.
And then, keep your eyes on Judicator, boys and girls, in 2019 for something that's been like 15 years in the making.
Apparently. Supposedly.
Apparently.
What's to come?
Definitely.
Neither confirmed nor
most
denied.
Most assuredly.
Our one man who can confirm or deny this is being tight-lipped about it. But
indubitably.
But I saw it. I saw it. It was a thing.
Oh, God. I really hope you guys can't hear my washing machine.
Nope, we cannot.
Nope.
It's so
you're okay.
Skype's not picking it
okay,
up.
Good.
It's fine.
Oh, Darko is going to pick it up. He's going to be already so
then.
Pissed at me. But anyway, well, that was a really insightful and fun conversation. We went all over the place from modern U.S. power metal to monkey knife fighting to Dysphoria farewell tour. Maybe we're making stuff up again. And some sweet, sweet
farewell show
on the upcoming stuff by Principium, Judicator, and Helion Prime. I think that's all we have for you guys today. Should we wrap this up for realsies?
Can we get one more thing from each of you individually?
Okay.
Can you guys, at the same time as at the same time as Skype will allow, lead us out and say "Stay powerful" to the listeners?
All right. So it'd have to be something like 1, 2, 3.
Stay powerful.
Nice.
Awesome. Awesome.
And we'll clean
try
it up
that again.
We'll clean it up in post.
We'll
clean
it up on the audio Photoshop.
should we do one that's more enthusiastic and less monotone?
Do you want to like sing it? Are you on your nice computer?
Stay powerful.
Oh, that was beautiful.
I love it. Clap. I love it.
Perfect.
I'm gonna cry now.
Aww. So heartful.
That was powerful.
All right. Well, that's that for tonight. Thanks for listening.
Good night,
guys
morning,
and gals.
Whatever.
Stay powerful.
Bye.